Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we now stream this broadcast live by the way of the web, by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM, 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and we're now heard in the low Asia area at 100.3 FM. And I welcome you to our broadcast this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're very proud to say both of these stations are streaming the broadcast live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Others are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over that, and you will see Current Media. Click on Current Media, and it'll take you to the broadcast for this morning. Whatever way you're listening this morning, I'm just glad to have you be a part of the broadcast. It's a Tuesday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, that the sun was shining nice and the lake looked beautiful, so I decided to come over here and put the broadcast together today. And it is much nicer. The lake has gone down. The water's retrieving a little bit, and we're glad for that. I want to say thank you to those that help with the financial broadcast to help take care of the financial involvement we have. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond. They're from the building area. A big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. She lives in Orleans. Big thank you to you, Gloria. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she lives in Greenville. Thank you so much, Gay. To Maria Vard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. Thanks so much to each of these that take care of the financial broadcast monies that's needed. Thank you to K.N. King Singer for selecting the music for the broadcast this morning. And as you know, I pastored the Shiloh Community Church for 50 years. I still attend here, been retired now 11 years. And I retired at least from the church work. I still keep pretty busy with funerals and other things, and that's very special to me. But I give you an invitation to attend the church at Shiloh. That's Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And we now have a campus in Greenville. It's at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that service is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you would so desire. What a beautiful afternoon it is, and I'm just taking it all in because I haven't felt good for about 4 weeks now. Have been having cough and all that stuff that's going around, and I'm just glad to be feeling a little better. My message today will continue our description of the kingdom of God. Today I want us to see how Jesus illustrated by the growth process of a seed. He talks about the seed being sown. I love that Jesus used things that they knew about in their world to illustrate the kingdom, such as the seeds. And we'll see if that was a part of their area of world. And Jesus talks about the mustard seed and other seeds as well. But before we get started, we need to listen to a song to kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the message. And you know what the kingdom of God is trying to teach us. And I trust through these 4 weeks of services, you will come to the place you understand that God is here to be a benefit to you. God is here to be a help to you. He meets you where you are, and he takes you to directions that you never thought would have been possible for you to do. And there's growth that takes place in your life that you would have never thought was possible, as we'll talk about the growth today that he allows to happen. But you know what he does for us? He reminds us that we have weaknesses and those kinds of things. But this song is telling us we got strength. We're strong in the strength of the Lord. The Lord Jesus wants to work in your life and through your life. And I got to tell you, for me walking with him ever since I was 18 years old, and I'm 84 now, he has been my source of strength beyond all measure. And I got to tell you, God's been so good to me as an individual, and I appreciate that so much. So we're going to listen to this song that reminds us this strength isn't what we have in ourselves. This strength is what comes to us because of our relationship with Jesus. Well, here we go. I'll be right back.
Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth. Strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else. I'm strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth. Strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else.
Daniel was thrown in the den of the lion. Incredible odds said he could not win, but he found a strength that was stronger than the lion. It was making a church out of that lion's den.
David stepped out to battle Goliath. Incredible odds said he could not win, but he found a strength stronger than the giant. With a sling and a stone, David's battle was won.
Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth. Strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else.
I'm living in a world that's filled with evil. Incredible odds say I cannot win, but I found a strength that is strong like a mountain, flowing through me from my Father's right hand.
Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth. Strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else.
In sickness and health,
I'm strong in His strength.
For richer or poorer,
I'm strong in His strength.
Death cannot part us,
'cause I'm strong in His strength. Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth. Strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else,
strong in the strength of someone else. And that someone else is the Lord Jesus. He reminds us that He gives us strength beyond ourselves. He's able to do that for each and every one of us, no matter what we're going through today. Just how He protected Daniel in days of old when he was cast into the lion's den, He could was able to protect those that went through all the difficulties they went through in the Old Testament. We have those stories to remind us that God can give us strength beyond ourselves. That's pretty special, folks. So we need to thank the Lord for that. But I want to remember the listening audience. I keep telling you every week, that's why I'm here this morning. I'm here to share this message with you because you're my audience. Those that's tuned me in this morning, wherever you've tuned me in from, you're my listening audience, and I count it a privilege to share with you the message of God, talking about His kingdom and what His kingdom is like and what His kingdom wants to do as you become a part of that and it becomes a part of your life. So let's just bow for a moment to prayer. Dear Father, got a listening audience tuned in this morning. I'm grateful and thankful for everyone that's tuned us in today. And I ask your special blessing to rest upon each and every one. Father, as I come into your presence in behalf of the listening audience, I don't know what their week has been like this week, but I do know that through every week there's lots of things that happen. There's times of real blessing that we receive from you and even from one another. And there's times of real discouragement. There's times of pain, physical pain, emotional pain, financial pain. Those are the things that we go through every day. And Father, we're coming to seek your face, to ask that you would be pleased to bless the listening audience in a very special way, and that you might minister to us, and you might meet our every need. Father, I just ask that you would bless from the youngest to the oldest that's got us tuned in today, that you would minister to each and every one of them. For every family, I want to pray for the families of the listening audience, that you just might bless them in many ways. I want to remember those, because I was busy with two funerals this past week. I want to remember those that's lost a loved one, that you'd be source of comfort to them. Maybe this has just been recent in their life, but maybe this is the period of time they passed away a year ago, or maybe even more than a year ago. Would you bless them with that special comfort that you're able to give? Now, Father, would you come and honor your word? Would you show us that we need to be growing as a child of God? We need to be growing as a part of the kingdom of God. And I'll thank you and praise you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus. And for his sake, amen. God bless you today. You know, the kingdom of God, I love it that Jesus takes simple things that we all can understand and tells us about that which maybe we have a little difficulty understanding. He's going to illustrate the kingdom of God by the seed itself, by the growing process of the seed, and that there's a harvest that comes at the end of that process time. You know, I want us to understand that these descriptions of God's kingdom is to show us how God's kingdom can fit into our life and how our life can fit into God's kingdom. God's got things he wants to do in and through your life. But God got things he wants you to do because you're a part of the kingdom of God. And you can reach out and be a benefit to one another. I'm just so pleased that what we just listened to a moment ago, God has chosen to show him strong in weakness. Listen to what he says in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Brothers and sisters, consider what you were when God called you to be a Christian. Not many of you were wise from the human point of view. You were not powerful positions in the upper social class of people. But God chose what the world considers nonsense to put wise people to shame. God chose what the world considers weak to put what is strong to shame. God chose what the world considers ordinary and what often it despises, what it considers to be nothing, in order to destroy what it considers to be something." God uses the weakness of people. God just loves to take a weak individual and minister through that individual. Listen to what he goes on to say. "As a result, no one can brag in God's presence. You are partners with Christ because of God, because of God's love. Jesus has become our wisdom, and this wisdom was sent from God. Jesus has become our righteousness, and this righteousness was sent from God. Jesus has become our holiness, and that righteous holiness was sent from God. And Jesus has become our ransom for sin, the payment for your sin and mine. Jesus has become, as the scripture said, says, whoever brags must brag about what the Lord has done. And that's what we brag about this morning. Jesus has done so many wonderful things in each one of our lives. And you know, he's reminding us, he just loves to take that which is insignificant and make it significant. Even when we remind ourselves of the simplicity of his birth, a baby in the manger, God just loves to show us what he's able to do through the weakness of man because of the strength of God. And we need to understand that's what he's going to talk about in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is taking weakness, just tiny little things like a seed, and can cause it to bring forth growth. The growth of God's kingdom needs to grow in numbers. I believe that's necessary. But the growth God is speaking about most of all is those that make up his kingdom. He wants there to be growth in your life and my life. Just think, those that made up the kingdom in the church of Corinth, he said, you were not wise, you were not powerful, you were not from the upper class, or you might be considered nonsense, but God chose the world, chose what the world considers nonsense to bring them, to put wise people to shame. He chose to take that which is weak and cause it to put strong people to shame. God chose what considered to be ordinary and despised, considered to be nothing, in order to destroy that which kind of raises its head to be something when they're not. God is reminding us all this was because they, those Christians at that time, were partners with the Lord Jesus. And what Jesus wants to do today is because we also are partners with the Lord Jesus. I love the promise that's given to us in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the entire ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. We've been having quite a few eagles here around the lake. There's some nesting over in the other side of the lake. But listen to what it says. Even the young grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord he will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings of an eagle. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Boy, every time I see one of those eagles, I think, man, wouldn't it be fun to ride on the wings of an eagle? You know what that eagle does, don't you? It takes what is its enemy, the wind, and because of its wings, it uses that wind to soar. God is saying, I've got something for you to know. You need to know that I can help you with my strength that I give to you. You will soar like an eagle. And that's something very special that God wants us to get a hold of. Well, that's the first thought as we enter into this idea of God's kingdom. We haven't talked about the seed yet. Just letting us know that an insignificant thing can produce something that is very mighty. And so now we're going to turn our attention towards the seed, the description of the kingdom of God. It will be illustrated like unto the growth process of a seed. The seed we're going to look at first here is the mustard seed. There are some things I found out about this mustard seed. From this is a very tiny seed, would grow a large shrub. The large shrub amongst all the herbs, all the different shrubs that's on a farmer's field, was planted in his garden. The mustard seed was so small that it would take almost 20,000 seeds to make an ounce. Let me say that again. It would take almost 20,000 seeds to make an ounce. Jesus used the mustard seed to describe anything that is small in its beginning, but the possibility of tremendous great growth. Think of the beginning of the kingdom of God. As I mentioned a few moments ago, Jesus was born a baby in the manger in Bethlehem, an insignificant town. He grew up in an unknown town of Nazareth. One time they even said, "Has anything good ever came out of Nazareth?" I came across this and I really like it. It says, "The Son of Man grew up in a despised province. He did not appear in public until he was 30 years old. Then he taught for 2 or 3 years in neighborhood villages and occasionally at Jerusalem. He made a few converts, chiefly among the poor and the unlearned. And then, falling into the hands of his enemies, he died a shameful death upon the cross." And you know, in the world's condition at that time, and even in our world today, they say he didn't amount to much. But listen, all that was to help us understand the seed of the kingdom of God was like a mustard seed. It had a small beginning, but after the resurrection, after this new life of the Lord Jesus, the seed of the kingdom of God began to grow. And it's still growing to this very day. But this growth will come from God who makes it grow. And he will use you and I. But we can't make it grow. That's God's work. I love the way the Apostle Paul explained that to the church in Corinth. When one day he said, "Some of you say, I follow Paul. And others say, I follow Apollos." That was another one of the leaders at that time. "Aren't you acting like sinful human beings? Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? They are the servants who helped you come to faith. Each did what the Lord gave him to do. Now listen to this. I planted and Apollos watered, and God made it grow." That's all we can do, folks. We can sow the seed. We can water the seed. But God makes it grow. We got to get back to that. But God makes it grow. These are just servants that's doing what God wants. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is important, because only God makes it grow. He tells us that twice. Only God can make it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters, they have the same goal. Want to see it be productive. Want to see the plant grow. Each will receive a reward for his own work. How beautiful is that? That God is saying, you know what? I'm not asking you to make the kingdom of God grow. That's God's work. That's God's business. I'm asking you to be faithful in whatever God has called you to do. And as you be faithful, God will cause things to grow. But even when it's all done, if that's all you did was the watering, if that's all you did was the seed sowing, he reminds us God's even going to reward us for whatever we did for his kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is as a man scatters seeds on the ground and should sleep by night and rise up by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and that farmer himself doesn't know how. It doesn't know how. The seed just grows, because that's what a seed is supposed to do. And God is saying his kingdom grows. It'll grow by numbers as you and I share our faith with others. But he's saying, I want it to grow within your life. I don't want you to be same from year to year. I don't want you to be on the same plateau of your life all the way through your life. I want you to grow. You see, one of the things that is so important that we get a hold of as we think about the kingdom of God is it's a growing process. He wants us to grow. He don't want us to be dormant. He don't want us to be that we're just as a little child. But we're growing every day. We're growing every year. And things are happening in our life that makes that very special. And we need to know that that's what God wants out of my life. And that's what God wants out of your life. Let me just go a little further and then we'll listen to a song. The description of the kingdom of God is illustrated by the growing process of a seed. We think about the seed needs to be sown. It needs to be planted so the seed can do what it is meant to do, grow. The sowing of the seed is for the expansion of the seed beyond itself. Every seed can go beyond itself. It's got that potential because of God. I just wanted to share this little illustration before I had us listen to a song. And you know, it's something that happened a long time ago. My wife and I used to love to go to yard sales. Now we don't go to yard sales anymore. We got more stuff than we know. Have you noticed? The older you get, you need less things and you need more people. I keep reminding people of that. The older you get, you'll need less things and you'll need more people. I went to a yard sale once where somebody had taken a lot of pain and built this big square thing of with several different departments in it. And on the front, he had a piece of glass. And inside of each of those departments, it was made in that big box, like it was about 4 inches thick. And inside each department, there was some seed, corn seed, bean seed, different kinds of seed, many different kinds of seed. And I picked that up, and I think it was a dollar. Now my wife said to me, what do you think you're going to do with that? Where do you think you're going to put that? I said, Bevy, I'm just buying, I'm spending a dollar, and I'm going to take it home. And I'm going to release those seeds. Those seeds were not meant to be encaged. Those seeds were not meant to be dormant. Those seeds were meant to be planted. So I took it home. I tore it all apart and released all the seeds. I don't remember if they grew or not. But you know what? I felt better because they hadn't been imprisoned long enough. They needed to be set free. You know, that's what Jesus is saying to you. And that's what Jesus is saying to me. You've been imprisoned in this life long enough. You need to be set free. He's reminding us that he came and gave his life that we might have the forgiveness of sin. You know, the biggest thing that he says in this generation that he did when he was here on planet Earth is simply, follow me, follow me, follow me, and I'll make you to become, he says. I got some things I want for your life that's totally different than you ever thought it would be. I got some ways that I want you to grow that you never thought you could grow. I got some things I want you to do that you would never think you'd be able to do. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
In the footprints of another who's walked here before. But when those prints disappear and my future seems unclear, my only hope is in a still small voice. Follow me when the footprints you follow are gone. Follow me when friends leave you standing alone.
Follow me. Oh, my friend, are you troubled with nowhere to turn? Have you lost your way in the night? Well, there is one who is watching. He knows where you are. He wants to lead you into the light.
Follow me when the footprints you followed are gone. Follow me when friends leave you standing alone. Don't
What good advice. The Savior has spoken. Follow me. Follow me. I love what he said to the disciple Peter, who was not a disciple yet. He was just a fisherman, just an ordinary person. And Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. What a beautiful thing God is saying. You know, I've heard this statement before, and I really liked it, because sometimes this is the way it works. You know, you can't see the footprints. But you know what? He says this to us. When you can't trace God's hand, follow his heart. You may not be able to see what God is doing, but follow God's heart. You know that he cares. And you know that he's reaching out to you. And you know that he wants you to become all that you can capable of becoming because of your relationship with him. Well, let's continue on with this idea of sowing the seed. The seed is planted. And when it's planted, it's meant to grow. You see, the idea isn't just sowing the seed. But the idea is, as I mentioned a few moments ago, God's design and purpose for a seed is that it expand beyond itself. That's why one kernel of corn seed can grow a whole ear of corn that has 700 to 800 kernels like was planted. That's God's plan. That's the way God works. That's how he wants to expand. I love the simplicity of Jesus when he was talking to people. He started out with this illustration, and it's called a parable. It's a little story. And this is what he said. A story about a farmer sowing some seed. But the seed was landing on all kinds of soils. You see, it's not just the seed. It's also the soil that the seed is landing on. And it was looking for results of growth. Now remember, that's the purpose of sowing the seed. We're looking to see a harvest. That same day, Jesus left the house and he sat down by the Sea of Galilee. A crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat. And he sat in the boat while the entire crowd stood on the shore. Then he used stories as illustrations to tell them many things. He said, listen, I like that, listen. A farmer went to plant seed, and some of the seed he planted along the road, and birds came and devoured. There's a path along the road, and the birds came and devoured that seed. Other seeds was planted on rocky ground, where there was very little soil. See, he's casting the seed. The plant sprouted quickly because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came out and they were scorched, they withered and became their roots weren't deep enough because their roots weren't deep enough. Other seeds were planted among the thorn bush or thistles or weeds. And the thorn bush or the thistles or the weeds grew up and choked the little plant out. But others of the seed were planted on some good ground, and it produced a harvest. They produced a 160 or 30 times as much as was planted. Let the person who has ears listen. I love that. Let the person who has ears listen, he's saying. God's trying to tell us something this morning, but we need to listen to it. He tells us of this farmer went out to sow the seed for the purpose of the seed to grow and to produce a harvest. That's why the seed is being sown. But as the farmer scattered the seed, some of it fell on different kinds of soil. And different things happened as a result of the soil. You got to get that now, folks. Different things happen as a result of the soil. But I'm so glad that Jesus told us some of the seed did grow and produce the harvest, 160 or 30 times what was planted. God is reminding us. God is reminding us that seed needed to be sown. That seed needed to be cast everywhere. But the soil is going to make a difference in how the seed responds to the seed and what the seed is able to do. I just want us to think about what Jesus said at the end of the teachings. He who has ears, let him hear. Let the person who has ears listen. We need to deal with that this morning. There was a lot of people there that day when Jesus was teaching, and each one had two ears. Let me just tell you one of the things that somebody told me a long time ago and has stuck in my mind. That's why God gave you two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen a lot more than you speak. Matter of fact, in the book of James, he said, be slow to speak and be quick to listen. God's saying, listen, I got something I want to share with you that you need to hear. It's something that is tremendously important as a part of the kingdom of God. The seed is being sown, but the soil makes a difference in what's going to happen with the seed that has been sown. You know, this growing process of the seed, there's some different types of soil that Jesus described, and I'll share those different types of soil with you now, as Jesus did. Jesus described the different types of soil. Remember, he told us that the person who has ears, listen. Jesus was saying, listen, because something we are going to miss if we don't take it in. You know, every time I read that, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Got to be willing to listen. I was a much younger pastor making a visit in the hospital, one of the big hospitals in Grand Rapids. And you know, they was teaching students. And there would be a doctor that was going to, as he made his visitations, he had about four or five students that was with him. And when I came, they was going to visit the room just next to the one that I was visiting, the person that I came to see. And just as I got ready to go into that room, I heard this doctor say to those students of his, now when we go into this room, he said, I want you to listen with both ears. I want you to listen with both ears. I don't know what all they were going to be hearing, but I love the way he said that. I want you to listen. I think that's what Jesus would be saying to us today. You know what we often say? It goes in one ear and out the other ear. Jesus is saying, I think Jesus is saying to his people, I want you to listen with both ears. Take this in. Take this in because it's important. Disciples asked him when he got to, when they was just got into the boat with him, why do you use stories to illustrate when you speak to people, Jesus? Jesus answered, knowledge about the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been given to you. You understand. But it has not been given to all people. Those who understand these mysteries will give more knowledge as they excel in understanding them. God's saying, you know, when you open your heart to the truth and you walk in that truth, more truth will come. I love the way he said it in one of the other books. He said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son, Jesus, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You walk in the light that you have, and God gives more light. Those who understand these mysteries will give them more knowledge, and they will excel in understanding of them. However, some people don't understand these mysteries. Even when they understand, it will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in this way. They see, but they're blind. I'll do that again. They see, but they're blind. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't even try to understand. So they make Isaiah's prophecy come true. You will hear clearly, but never understand. You will see clearly, but never comprehend. These people have become close-minded and hard of hearing. We're talking this morning to some of you that's just like that, as they was at that period of time. You become close-minded. You become hard of hearing. They've shut their eyes so that they see. Their eyes never see. Their ears never hear. Their minds never understand. And they never return to me for healing. If they just return back to me, Jesus said, I could give them sight. I could give them hearing. He'd already demonstrated that. He was able to bring, he did miracles in causing the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to talk. I can guarantee you this truth. Many prophets and many of God's people long to see what you see, you disciples, but didn't see it. To hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. So you come to this understanding, Jesus is saying, I don't want you to look down your nose at everybody else. I want you to come to the understanding that when you know these truths in Jesus, you need to thank God that you know those truths. In response to their question, Jesus tells them he does this because he wants the people to hear what he is saying. Because when they do hear, then the more understanding will be given. Then he describes the people in this way. They're blind. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't even try to understand. These people have become closed-minded and hard of hearing. I hope I'm not talking about anybody in the listening audience this morning. We need to be willing to listen. We need to have an open mind. We need to take it all in. Please just don't shut your eyes, and their eyes never see. Their ears never hear. Their mind never understand. Jesus is saying, you know what? That's like the person who shuts me out. They just don't listen to what Jesus is saying. And that causes a lot of difficulty. And that causes the harm, not to the kingdom of God, but it causes harm to those that could become a part of the kingdom of God. But in their rejection, in their deafness and all the other things that's happening in their life, they don't want to respond to that. You know, God's trying to tell us there's different types of soil. I'm going to wrap this service up now in these next few thoughts. Got just a few minutes left. Jesus is going to kind of come down to the bottom line, so to speak, to Today, what he's saying to us is there's many different types of soil. The seed is the same. The sowing is the same. There's possibility for growth. But the soil. What has the soil become? Because of our unbelief. Because we were not able to hear. Because we did not want to listen. Because we did not want to respond in a positive way. Jesus starts it out this way. Listen to what the story about the farmer means. Disciples, listen. This is what you need to know. Some hear the word about the kingdom, but doesn't understand it. The evil one comes at once and snatches away what was planted in him. This is what the seed planted along the roadside illustrates. The roadside, the ground was hard. And as the seed was sown upon it, it just laid there. And along come the birds, and they snatched the seed up, and they ate it, and they flew away with it. And no harvest ever came from any of that seed. He said, that's the person who hears the word of God. The seed is sown there. But for many different reasons, he doesn't go into all the different reasons. Their hearts have become hardened. And it just lays there. And then the evil one, the one Satan, he doesn't want you to hear the word of God. He comes and steals away the word of God. And you do not respond, and so there is no harvest. The seed planted on the rocky ground is the person who hears the word and he accepts it with joy. Oh, I love that. I love that. I believe that, he's saying. Since he doesn't have any root, he lasts only for a little while. And then comes some suffering, which he described, like the sun coming out, or some persecution comes because of the word that he's been listening to. And immediately he falls from faith. He falls from faith because there's not enough soil to cause the plant to grow. You see, God doesn't want us just to have a good beginning. God wants us to have a good ending. A matter of fact, God is more concerned about your future than God is concerned about your past. God wants us to think that the best is yet to come. That's the way he wants us to operate. He goes on and he says, you know what? That kind of seed with its very little soil, it's all rocky, hard ground. It doesn't produce much of a crop. None whatsoever. Then the seeds are planted amongst the bushes or the weeds or the thistles. He hears the word of God. But then he's so concerned about the worries of life and the deceitful pleasures of the riches. He's thinking, oh, if I just had more money. All of a sudden, those riches and all those concerns come in and they choke out the word. And then that plant can't produce. The soil's pretty good. The seed is good. The same seed has been used in all the places. But all of a sudden, those thistles seem to grow faster than the plant. And it chokes it out. It takes the water that was meant for the plant to grow. And it is used to cause the thistle to grow. Did you ever notice in the garden the weeds grow much faster than the plant? And then he says, you know what? There is some good ground. Thank God for the good ground. Thank God you have the privilege to be a part of that good ground. That's where you're not become calloused and hard. That's where you have been listening, but you haven't really totally responded yet. But all of a sudden, this ground, it's been ready for some seed to come. And the seed starts coming. And then the good ground mixes with the good seed and the growth process takes place. And all of a sudden, the plant grows like it was meant to grow. The seed is multiplying itself. And all of a sudden, when the harvest time comes, some of that good ground, he said, produced 100 times what was planted. Some of that good ground produced 60 times what was planted. And some of that good ground produced 30 times what was planted. Remember, the kingdom of God is all about growth. It's all about expanding the seed in our lives as individuals, as a part of the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it's to become like Jesus himself is what he wants us to do. I love it when he gives us this idea. He says, you know, that other seed all disappeared and nothing happened. But you know what? The possibility for you being some good ground can produce. Maybe it's not 100%. Maybe it is only 60%. Maybe it is only 30%. But it's better than anything else where the seed was just wasted, so to speak. The seed has been allowed to do because of the ground receiving it. And God is saying, when you receive the word can go to work in your life and through your life and produce a harvest. And that's beautiful. You know what the bottom line of my message is today? And I don't even feel right saying this to you, but it needs to be said today. It's like Jesus is saying, listen, listen, listen with both ears. Listen, the seed is good seed, and the seed has been sown. But listen, listen, what kind of soil are you? That's the question as we close with. What kind of soil are you? What kind of a soil are you as an individual? Time for me to go. We got a song we want us to listen to, and this song is telling us about net breaking. I didn't get a chance to get to this net breaking blessings, but this is what God reminds us. Here we go. Net breaking blessings that come upon your life, they come upon my life.
The disciples were ready to quit and give in. Hope had become a stranger to them. They fished all night with nothing to show. Just empty nets and nowhere to go. Then Jesus came along with just one word. They threw out their nets on what they had heard. Obedience taught them what they needed to see. It happened to them, it's happening to me. I've got net-breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. Meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net breaking boats sinking bountiful blessings on me. Good measure pressed down, running over indeed. Shaken together is blessings I see. I can say, cause I'm living proof, there's nothing that my God cannot do. Trust in the Lord and plant my seed. Goodness and mercy are following me. I've learned to let go of what's in my hand. Release it to God and He fills it again. With net-breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net-breaking boats seeking bountiful blessings on me. I've got net-breaking boats seeking bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. To meet my need, I'm looking around, and all I see are net-breaking boats.
seeking bountiful blessings on me.
Blessings on me.
Net breaking boat, seeking bountiful blessings on me.